Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The Environmental Protection Agency has weighed in once again on the proposed Pebble Mine, and mine opponents are cheering. In formal comments released today, the EPA says a draft report on the mine's environmental impact lacks important information and likely underestimates the risk to water quality and fish habitat in the Bristol Bay watershed. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Longtime Dillingham fisherman Norm Van Vactor, CEO of the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation, says he always believed the professional staff at the EPA would see the holes in the draft report on Pebble. Still, he worried some voices might be stifled for political reasons. Even before he finished reading the EPA comments, Van Vactor could feel his faith restored.
It's a powerful statement. I think it's a powerful indictment.
The two primary federal agencies involved in Pebble's application for a Clean Water Act permit are the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers. The Corps prepared the draft report looking at what impact the mine could have on the environment. The EPA issued comments critical of that report.
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's almost like we're singing off the same page.
Pebble critic Rich Borden used to work on environmental matters for mining giant Rio Tinto, but he believes the Pebble mine is too risky. Borden says the EPA pointed out some of the same deficiencies he noticed in the Army Corps report.
The lack of detail, the fact that it's conceptual and, you know, there's a lack of engineering drawings or any or even sufficient design to tell what the impacts are going to be, that's exactly the same thing I said. They seem very substantive, honest comments.
Meanwhile, the mine developers are soldiering on.
Hey, you know, it's Tuesday.
Pebble spokesman Mike Heatwall says despite EPA's critiques, Pebble is continuing its work at the site. They're doing wetlands mapping of the proposed road corridor and plan to drill a dozen new holes for a groundwater study.
There's really nothing in their comments that comes as a surprise to us. And really the issue at hand is whether or not the issues highlighted by the EPA have been adequately addressed via the process. And if they have not, we're confident the Corps will ensure this as they work towards finalizing the EIS for the project.
The EPA provided pages and pages of recommendations for the Army Corps to improve its final environmental impact statement. The comments were signed by the EPA Administrator for Region 10, the region that includes Alaska. In a second document issued by EPA Region 10, the agency concludes the project may have substantial and unacceptable adverse impacts on fisheries resources in the project area watersheds, which are aquatic resources of national importance. A disagreement between EPA Region 10 and the Corps could be decided by higher-ups in Washington. In the meantime, mine opponents say they hope the EPA's comments embolden Alaska's congressional delegation to take a stand against Pebble. They've been targeting Senator Lisa Murkowski, who chairs the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Republican U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan is up for re-election next year. And today, his first serious opponent announced his campaign. Al Gross is a surgeon and fisherman from southeast town of Petersburg. And it's Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media reports Gross is playing up that experience.
It's 8 a.m. this morning at the state election office in Anchorage, and Al Gross has a question.
So this, just to clarify, the way you want your name to appear on the ballot is just simply Al.
Al Gross.
Okay, that's how you want it.
Yes. And can you do doctor?
Gross is one of the first candidates to sign up to run against Republican Dan Sullivan in next year's U.S. Senate campaign. Gross grew up in the state. His dad was attorney general under former Governor Jay Hammond, and he wants you to know that he has legit Alaska credentials. Here's a clip from a promotional video Gross released today.
Piloted through an ocean gale with Governor Jay Hammond, father of the permanent one down below, and killed a grizzly bear in self-defense after it snuck up on him.
The video goes on to attack Sullivan, the incumbent, for voting along party lines. Gross is running as an independent, which he says would put him in a good position to broker a deal with members of both parties on one of his signature issues, healthcare reform. Nevertheless, Gross is seeking the Alaska Democratic Party's support by participating in its primary election. He's also using a veteran Democratic ad maker, Mark Putnam, who worked with Mark Begich in his 2014 U.S. Senate campaign. For nearly 2 months, Gross has been on a listening tour around the state from southeast to the North Slope, and he says he's been hearing from people who want change.
People are very concerned about the future of the state of Alaska, about the state of our educational system, about jobs and our economy, and that Alaska's been in recession for a long time, and they're not happy with the leadership that we have in the state.
A spokesman for Sullivan's reelection campaign declined to comment on Gross's announcement. What's next for the newly minted Senate candidate? First is a phone call to his mom to tell her that he filed to run. Then it's time to start fundraising. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Hurst.
Crews battling the Shovel Creek wildfire northwest of Fairbanks made progress after rain Sunday and cool, cloudy weather Monday. Fire Information Officer Jacob Welch says the major focus is securing fire breaks to protect populated areas south, east, and north of the 10,000-acre blaze near Murphy Dome.
And so basically what that will do is create a big box that will prevent fire spread towards our values at risk, which are our homes and other infrastructure up on the hill.
Firefighters also continue to do structure protection work to protect properties in case the fire jumps lines, as activity is expected to pick up with a warming and drying trend. A level 3 or GO evacuation notice remains in effect for 52 homes in the Martin and Perfect Perch subdivisions, while 93 homes in the Lincoln, McLeod, and Murphy subdivisions are at level 2 or SET status. Others scattered along the Chattanooga River are at level 1 or READY status. An investigation is underway after a Sandpoint woman died in corrections custody late last month. KUCB's Laura Craigle has more.
42-year-old Lori Wilson was being held at the Sandpoint Jail on June 22nd when she had an unspecified medical emergency. That is according to a statement by the Alaska State Troopers, who say Wilson was transported to the local clinic and pronounced dead after life-saving measures were unsuccessful. Sandpoint Police Chief Hal Henning declined to comment on Wilson's death, saying he's asked the troopers to investigate what happened. Trooper spokesperson Ken Marsh confirmed that the Alaska Bureau of Investigation did take over the case last week and that Wilson's body has been sent to Anchorage for an autopsy by the state medical examiner. In an email to KUCB, Marsh said, quote, "Requests for an outside agency to look into incidents like this are considered prudent and are not uncommon. At this point, no foul play is suspected in the in-custody death of Ms. Wilson," end quote. According to public court records, Wilson had been arrested the day before her death for violating the conditions of her release on an earlier charge of driving under the influence. Her death comes not long after three people died this spring while in custody at jails in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Two people died when the Napakiok jail burned down in April. Another died in a jail cell in Akiachuk in May. In Unalaska, I'm Laura Craigle.
A Kenai Peninsula Borough Assemblyman plans to introduce an ordinance that could end invocations at assembly meetings, which last month included one offered by a member of the Satanic Temple. KSRM Radio reports Assemblyman Willie Dunn will introduce an ordinance tonight asking voters if the borough should repeal the invocation provision. Dunn, in a memo, says many residents have requested that the prayers end. Assembly policy says invocations are presented to meet spiritual needs of assembly members. Dunn says recent invocations have instead resulted in controversy and divisive actions. The Alaska Supreme Court in October ruled that the borough could not limit prayers to representatives of groups with an established presence on the Kenai Peninsula. The policy was changed in November to allow anyone to offer invocations. Because of the dry conditions and increased fire danger across Alaska, the state fire marshal has banned fireworks. Capital City Fire Rescue Chief Rich Etheridge says all fireworks are prohibited from sale and personal use in the Juneau area.
We don't get a ton of really big, large wildfires, but we're also in a weather pattern that's very unusual. And we have had fires up towards 50 to 60 acres, even out of Burners Bay. So there is potential for a wildland fire to get going.
Etheridge said they don't have adequate resources here in Juneau to fight a wildland fire. Etheridge warns that violators of the fireworks ban could get a ticket or criminal charge, depending on the severity. One exception to the ban is Wednesday night's big public fireworks display in downtown Juneau. It's currently planned to start as scheduled at 11:59 p.m. July 3rd. One reason the show can go on, Etheridge said, is the State Fire Marshal's Office, State Division of Forestry, and U.S. Forest Service deferred to the licensed pyrotechnicians who are in charge. The fireworks are launched from a barge that's moved into the middle of the Gastineau Channel near the downtown waterfront. It's organized each year by the Juneau Festival Association. And finally, wildlife officials and residents of the remote St. Paul Island are cheering the death of a wild rat. A Norway rat that was likely carried by a ship was spotted last year on St. Paul Island in the Bering Sea. The Anchorage Daily News reports that the island is an internationally known breeding habitat for millions of birds that lay eggs on rocks and tundra. Wildlife officials say an infestation of rats could devastate the bird population. The rat avoided capture for 10 months, but was found dead Sunday by a visiting bird watcher. Forecast tonight for the borough and Northern Admiralty Island, mostly cloudy, numerous rain showers. And that is the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, July 2nd, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea.